This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Property Show presented by BoomBoom.co for Millennials. Good morning, I'm Julian Ng. According to government data, Malaysia entered 2019 with over 30,000 unsold completed residential properties valued at some 19.5 billion ringgit. How will the property sector fare in the coming year? Today on The Property Show, Tan Chung Han speaks with Tan Sri Abdul Rahim Abdul Rahman, Executive Chairman of Rahim & Co. for some insights.
Good morning, Tan Sri, and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Now, Tan Sri, let me just set the context here. So between 2015 till 2018, the property oversupply here in Malaysia, that just drastically worsened, right? Let's look at volume. Volume of unsold residential properties almost quadrupled, and the value of those unsold properties rose by more than 400%. So now, that's all according to data from the Valuation and Property Services Department. So the question to you, Tan Sri, to kick things off, will this oversupply situation worsen in 2019?
Well, everybody actually expected the 2018 to be an improved year for real estate, especially for residential. But unfortunately, due to factors sometimes from within and sometimes from without, from outside the country, it remained flat. The oversupply, or the overhang, as we call it, is worrying. The figure, actually, the latest overhang supply figure for the whole country is in excess of 40,000 units.
Correct.
With a value of some 26.84 billion.
Yeah, that includes service apartments and Soho.
Yeah, and Soho, yeah. And in terms of location, the biggest oversupply is in Johor, 9.82 billion. Selangor, 5.34 billion. Kuala Lumpur, 3.91 billion. And Penang, 3.17 billion in terms of value. That is the residential. What are the factors that contribute towards this overhang and flat, what we term as flat property market condition in the country? One, of course, is the change of government. Of course, the change of government has been positive in a lot of ways, but people still want to see what's going to happen. So usually the waiting period is between 1 to 2 years. That's one. And of course, the government have come up with the country's financial problems with the loans, national debts and so on, which were not told to us before, or which the rakyat didn't know. And all this, together with factors on the world economy, as the trade war, the so-called trade war with the US and China, which somehow affect our country. All this needs consolidation and affect the property market.
Right.
Therefore, we see this not just in residential. For example, in the office market, in spite of the fact that we already have in Malaysia in excess of 200 million square feet, there is, in Kuala Lumpur alone, I suspect, there is between 15 to 20 million oversupply. In the next 3 to 4 years, the market is going to be hit by some 18 to 20 million square feet of office. And I think we all know TRX, the TRX, 118 by PNB, and a few other developers, all this is going to hit the market, and it's not going to do the office market any good. And it's going to affect the occupancy rate, which has dropped from the traditional 85% to nearer the 70% mark, which is worrying.
Right. So now, Tan Sri, we know that Ryan & Co, 49% of your company is owned by PNB. And like you mentioned, Menara 118 by PNB is set to come online in the next few years. So given the anticipated worsening of this oversupply in the office space, so would it be an option? Is this option at all on the table to delay this incoming supply? Or they have to enter the market no matter what?
Okay, of course, the prudent, if possible, thing that developers should do is to delay. However, you know, in property development takes a long process. It takes 3 to 4 years to plan, to get the finances together. The chances are when all these plans were being done, they were done 5 years ago, for example.
Right.
By the time they reach now, it is now an oversupply. What do they do? They've already spent the money to buy the land. They have spent money to pay the consultants. And they have applied for overdraft and they have used the overdraft. So what do they do? So the company has got to be very big and be able to sustain all these commitments in the past. Therefore, sometimes they cannot delay. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they continue and hope for the best. Which is why the market is as it is now. Mm. Yes, Ryman Co is 49% owned by PNB. The question on your 118, this was planned, I think 5 years ago.
Right.
And we were told at that time that the money that is going to be is PNB's money from investments which are, it's not borrowed money or vastly not borrowed money. And, of course, when it was thought of 5 years ago, the property market was different. But PNB itself, I think, has planned the 118 properly, where they will start with the office building. Of course, PNB has got a lot of subsidiaries, and certainly more than half of the office spaces that they are going to put into the construction is already taken up by the subsidiaries at a rental which has already been agreed. So what we have to do or they have to do is to market the other 50%, which I must say is not going to be easy, but they're doing it. Of course, the effect of it is many of the subsidiaries who are occupying the existing buildings, that they occupy will be affected.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, as new offices come up, the older buildings will be affected, and this is going to be a problem for the market as a whole.
That's Tan Chung Han speaking to Rahim & Co. Executive Chairman Tan Sri Abdulrahim Abdulrahman. We'll have more of that conversation after these messages. Stay tuned to The Property Show presented by BoomBoom.co for Millennials.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Property Show presented by BoomBoom.co for Millennials. I'm Julian Ng. On the show today, Tan Chung Han speaks to Tan Sri Abdulrahim Abdulrahman, Executive Chairman of Real Estate Consultancy Rahim & Co, to get his thoughts on housing policy in the country.
Now, Tan Sri, in the first half, we started with an overview of the current state of the property sector here in Malaysia as we enter 2019. Now, let's talk about some of the proposed policy measures that are aimed at tackling this problem. Now, one of the factors you said earlier on that's contributing to this oversupply is the uncertainty when it comes to government policies, right? And you said maybe it might take 1 or 2 years. Is that an oversimplified notion to think that, you know, in 1 or 2 years, say by 2021, this uncertainty will go away and then the market can correct itself? Is that too simplified a narrative?
Well, that is probably oversimplifying the problems. There are a lot of problems facing the market. But one of the wisest things that the PH government has taken in terms of real estate or housing is to consolidate all the housing under one roof, which is the Ministry of Housing. Before, We had SPMB under Ministry of Finance,
Prima.
Prima under the Prime Minister's Department, UDA under Ministry of Finance, whatever. And then again, the local authorities have got its own housing sections or whatever. Now the government has taken everything. Now everything is under the Ministry of Housing.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is a wise thing to do, which I have always suggested the government should do, because then we'll have one central agency to deal with all the problems.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have other problems. First of all, there is the problem of affordable housing. And I think the government is very serious about this. They are going to build 1 million units of affordable homes, which I think the determination by the new government is there, and everybody is working towards it.
Mm.
When talking about house purchase, the problem is always, number one, is the affordability problem. Unfortunately, the rise in income hasn't kept pace with the rise in property prices.
Mm.
And therefore, we have this problem of the gap. There are two things about this. Number one is for a house buyer, if you are a middle or middle income, say you start with $2,500 or $3,000, and you have to buy a house costing between $250,000 to $300,000, first of all, with your commitment on the car loans, on your school, if you have on your children's schooling, and so on, you have very little money left.
Right.
And therefore, when you go to the bank, you are not eligible, probably,
right,
because of your commitments. And then, of course, even if you are eligible, if you are you need the 20%, which is a difference between what the bank gives you as a loan and what you have to purchase. Usually, it's about 20%.
Right.
So you imagine if it is $300,000, the 20% is $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
If you earn $3,000 a month, you save 10%, $300 a month, it would take you 10 years,
mm-hmm,
or more than 10 years to accumulate. Now, this is the problem.
Right.
Therefore, the government has thought about this. First of all, I think they have given allocation of some 1 billion ringgit to see how this can be solved, and then come up with this idea of crowdfunding, which is helping the first home buyers.
Mm.
Meaning, if you are a first home buyer, all you have to find is the 20%, which, as I said earlier, it's already a problem.
It's a monumental task.
Yeah. So this guy has to go to borrow from parents. If you come from a rich parent, then okay, the 20%, which you don't need the crowdfunding anyway.
Mm.
And then there is the crowd, the other part of it, the investors who are willing to invest in this and in giving the crowdfunding.
Right.
It is a good initiative by the government, but this has not been tested in other countries. And I understand this is being tried in Canada or even in Australia, but hasn't been proven to work.
Right.
So we'll have to see in this country whether A, and the investors will want to risk their investment in putting into the crowdfunding.
Right.
Because it depends on A, the person that you are, the people that are buying the properties.
Right.
And two is how the property market fare in the next 5 years.
Right. Now, Tan Sri, going back to this Fund My Home program that you're alluding to, right, I think it still tries to operate on the premise that Malaysians still want to own their home. And I think the government is also operating or shaping policies along those same lines, right, ultimately allowing people to own their own homes. But is ownership really the solution, though? I mean, should there be a change in mindset? Should there be a change in the policies geared towards people just renting their homes? Yeah. Because as we see in developed markets, you know, renting is not as taboo as, you know, perhaps seen here in Malaysia. Here in Malaysia, the holy grail is still ownership. But is that a misplaced or misguided goal?
Okay, this is the mindset. I come from Kelantan, a very conservative state. My parents, when I first started to work, the first thing would remind me is to buy a home. Because owning a home is everything to the mindset of the older generation.
Right.
But in my opinion, there is nothing wrong in renting a place because, after all, it is having a roof over your head. And therefore, I think you should, if you cannot buy a home when you first start working, by all means, rent. I think, I don't know, it took me, for example, a period of 7 years before I bought my first home. Because I couldn't afford, with the salary that I was getting, to buy a home even at that time. So there is nothing wrong in renting first. Therefore, the government's policy of rent first, buy later, I think is a good policy, and encourage young people not to commit their income and so on to buying a home when they actually cannot afford it.
So you're talking about the rent-to-own scheme?
Yeah, I think the government should concentrate on rent-to-own scheme rather than... Well, the initiative for crowdfunding is good, but something which may not work. Mm. I do not know whether it's going to work. But rent-to-own, I think, is a better scheme if we can put the things
right
together.
Okay. What about REDA's rental REIT that they're proposing for this year as well?
Reduction, is it?
Rental. So they're going to set up a REIT?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but it's based on a rental premise, not so much an ownership.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
I think that is also a good initiative by REDA. All these are untested. Mm. But the initiatives taken by not just the government, but by organizations like REDA, I think it's a good initiative, all towards providing shelter for every Malaysian.
Right. Now, in still keeping with the theme of trying to make homes affordable, you had the Minister of Finance who told developers that, hey, you guys got to drop those prices by 10% because of the SST exemption status. Again, is that a viable request? Can developers actually deliver on that front? Drop prices by 10% just because they have been exempted from SST?
Yeah, but I think this is not easier said than done. Mm. You know, there are so many components that determine the price of a house. First of all, the land and the construction cost and so on. Tax is just one factor, which is a small factor. But I think developers are also listening to what the minister is saying. And I think whatever they can, if they can buy land at a lower price and construction costs can be reduced, of course they would be willing to bring down the prices. And I think talking about construction costs, I think we have to think harder on how to reduce the cost of construction by introducing
industrialized building systems.
Yeah, industrialized buildings, like they have done in China. Mm. They call it a 3D printed house.
Oh.
And apparently, 3D printed house, they can build a house after 45 days in China. They are introducing this. And I think the government should spend or should encourage developers to introduce more industrial type of this type of buildings in this country.
Right.
So that we can reduce the cost as well as the time of construction.
Sure. Tan Sri, with the little time that we have left, let's end with this then, Tan Sri. Your outlook for the property sector, not just for 2019, but for the medium term in the coming year. So again, given the mix of policies and market trends, the good old supply and demand dynamics, where do you see the property sector headed here in Malaysia?
Okay, looking at the, first of all, what the economic condition, the economy of the country, as well as what is happening in the world, I think the property market is going to remain flat for the next 12 months. But I think we should be able to see some improvements in the third quarter. That's my opinion, in the third quarter of 2019. Due to various factors, I think we have to give a chance. I think the government, the new government or new Malaysia, is doing its best, not just in the real estate industry, but also the economy as a whole. We have to give it a chance for it to work. And I think there is a new surge of urgency and hope for the entire population. And I think everybody is excited about it. And I am very sure that given the chance with all its policies, that we're going to face a better future, not just in real estate, but the country as a whole.
That was Tan Chung Han speaking to Tan Sri Abdul Rahim Abdul Rahman, Executive Chairman of Real Estate Consultancy Rahim & Co. This has been The Property Show presented by Boomboom.co for Millennials. Real estate for real people.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.